In me is everlasting life. I have heard your praise to me this night, and I am so overwhelmed with pleasure. I say unto you this night, you are my beloved ones. You are my chosen ones. You are my cherished ones. I am going to use you. I know that you're singing, send me, but you have told me that over and over and over again in the past. And I have been preparing you for one of the greatest ministries that you will ever step into. You will never need to be ashamed, for my Holy Spirit will be with you. And my Holy Spirit will lead, guide, and direct you in all the ways that I would have you to go. Yes, you love me, my children, but oh, how I love you. I love you with an everlasting love. I love you with a love that will never die. It will go throughout the ages with you. And I sing unto you this night, little ones. Just clasp me to your bosom right now. Hold me tight right now. Let's just cherish this moment of love right now. Hold fast, be content, and know that I am with you, and know that I am well able to take you to the places on the four corners of the earth that I have preordained you to go. You will go for me. You will do a mighty work for me. You will walk in the miraculous continually. And my glory shall abide. My glory shall abide upon you all the days of your life. I've already dropped my glory upon you, little ones. It is going to increase and increase and increase until no one sees you, but all they will see is my son, Jesus. I am pleased with you this night, for you sang from the very depths of your hearts. You gave me your all. And I received you just as you gave me. Rejoice this night. Remember this night. And know that you are mine and I am yours. And we walk in everlasting love together, you and I. And we walk down that path, strewed with the lost souls that no one would minister to, but you have promised me you will, and you shall. And you shall see many, many, many souls being brought into the kingdom of light, and you will continue to rejoice over the souls. You will not rejoice in yourself, but you will rejoice over the souls that you are bringing into my kingdom. This is your night to revel in my love. This is your night to just bask in the goodness of my love and the sweetness. Now just enjoy your stay with me. And out there in the world that must be removed. And the only way it can be removed is by with this love that you are holding into your bosom this night. Your love and my love have been combined. And it is the most powerful love in the world. And with this love, we shall remove every mountain. We shall go down into the deepest valleys and bring the lost souls up out of the valleys. You and I, we will march together in total rhythm. You and I will march in total acceptance of all that you come in contact with. In other words, you will love the unlovable. You will receive everybody that you come in contact with just as they are. You will not turn your nose up at them, and you will not tell them once you have changed, then God will love you. You won't take that message. You will take the message, God loves you just as you are. Children, I can't tell you enough times how pleased I am with you and your love message to me this night. You are abiding under the shadow of the Almighty right now. My pillar of fire that I gave you the other night is blazing forth. You will go forth as fire towers, and you will tear down the kingdom of darkness with this fire. This fire will ignite everything it comes in contact with, and it will destroy it. It will take it, reduce it to ashes. My children, you do not understand the importance of what went on the other night or even tonight. You do not understand the height of glory that you have climbed into. Some of you keep saying, I want to go to the third heaven. My children, you're already in the third heaven. You're already abiding there under the shadow of the Almighty. and you are receiving all that I have for you in the heavenly realms. You will no longer look this way nor look that way and wonder what is going on, for you will know with surety of heart that you are my son and you are my daughters, that I have brought you to the place in my heavenly realm that the enemy cannot attack you, the enemy cannot heal you, the enemy must walk away from you, for the anointing is destroying every yoke. No more bondage, no more half-truths, perfect love. It is perfect love that goes down in the very depths of the soul and pulls out all the darkness and brings it into the marvelous light, never to be seen ever again. And tonight, you are sitting in perfect love. And this perfect love is taking you to a place in me that you have never experienced before. Many of you in here tonight, you're going to be brought up into the heavenly realm and you're going to see the streets of gold. And I am going to instruct you in the ways that I would have you to live from this moment forth. For you know that a new thing has come upon the land, and we must walk in the newness of life. We must walk in the newness of the eternity that lies before us. And we must walk in the perfect works that I've laid out before your feet, children. And I call you children with so much love. You are my true children. And you stand at my feet and you gaze up at me with such wonderment and such love in your eyes. And you speak to me. Sometimes you think I don't hear because I don't answer. But sometimes, children, I am overwhelmed with love for you as you are for me. And if I spoke, it would break the moment. So don't be disappointed. Don't be grieved in spirit. Just know that I will speak, but I didn't want to break the moment of intimacy that we were in. You just do not understand what people see when they look at you. They don't see you anymore. They see my son Jesus and they marvel to themselves, but they will not say anything out loud. Because then they're going to have to admit they've been wrong about you and your walk with me. But that's all right. That is truly all right. Because you and I know from whence you came. And you and I know where you're at right now. You're on the very pinnacle of the greatest move that I have ever brought across this land. And you are the forerunners. You are right out front proclaiming my gospel of love and peace, strength and courage to a lost and dying world. God, just say and embrace me right now. Just sit there in your seat and just embrace me tighter than you were a few minutes ago. Just embrace me. This is a very intimate moment between you and I. Embrace me with all of your might. Clasp me to your bosom and keep me there.
Father, we just thank you that you've already arrived on the scene. Father, we thank you for your Holy Spirit that is in this room and is upon each and every one of us. Father, we thank you for your angels that are here ministering to each and every one of us individually. And we just thank you for it in the mighty name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Okay, tonight we're going to be talking about faith. I titled it Unshakable Faith in the Midst of Brokenness. Tonight we're going to take a look at a couple of men in the Bible that have gone through brokenness and have come out of it with greater faith than what they had before they went into it. But first we're going to learn what faith is and what it means to have faith. What is faith? Faith is having total and complete trust or confidence and someone or something. In our case, it is having faith in God. Faith is having a strong belief in God based on spiritual understanding rather than proof. What does it mean to have faith in God? To have faith in God is to make a practical commitment, the kind involved in trusting God or trusting in God. There's a difference between trusting in God and then trusting in God. You know, you can trust Him, but do we really understand that God's there? I think sometimes we don't really understand the fullness of that. Sometimes it's just like a thought, you know, like, oh yeah, God's there. But is He really there? And He is always there. Hebrews 11:1-3 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible." In other words, faith is believing in something you can't see with your fleshly eyes. Second Corinthians 5:7 says, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." How many of us go through trials and tribulation and we find ourselves saying, "I know that God is with me, but this is not faith, this is doubt and unbelief." Because if you truly believe that God was with you, there wouldn't be a but. As we are going through our places of brokenness, that God has us in, we have to hold fast to the truth that God is with us, and He is not going to leave us in our most vulnerable moments. It's like Pastor Barbara told us a couple services ago, our broken places are where God is wanting to meet with us the most. It's when He's trying to get closest to us the most. It's in these times when our faith is tested like never before, sometimes to its very limit. Amen. Yeah. We've all been there more than once. All right. Let's talk about Job for a minute. Job was well-to-do. He had it all. He had his family, property, animals, the whole shebang. Then comes Satan. God offers Job over to Satan, and Job loses absolutely everything. How many of us have been tested and tried and have lost absolutely everything? Even family. At this point, Job has started his breaking process. Job has lost everything, but yet he still had faith in God. He still knew that God was there no matter what. Job's wife even tried to convince him that God had abandoned him. But Job, his faith was so built up that he wasn't even listening to her. He wasn't hearing any of them. Then Satan tells God that if he allows Job to get sick, then Job would walk away from him. And naturally, God agrees to let Satan have Job, but he couldn't kill him, which we all know. All right, so now Job is sick and has all kinds of sickness wrong with him. This is Job's final breaking point. You know, also, again, like Pastor Barbara pointed out, you know, it's not until you're really sick or, you know, just about there that it's like, you know, you're just down. So Job is now broken. And yet still he had his faith in God. And in the end, God restored Job. And you can see that in Job chapters 1 and 2. But you can also read that in Job chapter 3 that Job had a heart-to-heart with God and was asking Him why. You know, how many of us ask God why? You know, it's natural for us to ask God why, but it's not really our place, you know? Because God's God. He'll do what he wants to when he wants to. I also just wanted to point out something here. Notice that the story of Job not only tells of Job's faith in God, but it also tells God's faith in Job. God has that same faith in each and every one of us. Praise God. Daniel also had great faith in the midst of all the plots and accusations that were placed against him. He was close with the king. I mean, he was even given power and authority over the whole province of Babylon. The king wanted to promote Daniel over the entire realm. So not just the province, but the realm. That's like just beneath the king. Well, the other governors and rulers got jealous and tried to find fault in Daniel, but couldn't find anything. So then they decided to go after his faith. The story goes on to say that Daniel gets thrown into a den of lions. Daniel had faith and believed that God would save him, and God did save Daniel because he believed in God. You know, he had that much faith that God was going to come to his rescue, you know. He just knew that God wasn't going to let him die. And I think it's very important that we all should come to the place where no matter what happens to us, no matter how dire the circumstances are, we should believe that God's going to be there for us. Because he is. Over and over again. Daniel 6:23 says, "Now the king was exceedingly glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no injury whatsoever was found on him, because he believed in God." We should all have the same faith in God that Daniel has. God should be able to place us in a lion's den, literally or metaphorically, and we should have faith that God is with us and he is not going to let us die. We are the elite. Who better to show the example? Where is our faith? We are supposed to be examples for the lost. How can we be examples for the Father if we are lacking the essentials? Romans 1:17 says that the just shall live by faith. I can speak for myself that I have been in a lot of situations that have caused me to be broken, as I'm sure all of you have. So broken that I felt like I couldn't go on. The only thing that brought me any kind of confidence that I could make it through these times was my faith. You know, I just believed that God was there because he had to be. I believe that God was with me and he wasn't going to leave me in my place of brokenness. I would hold on even if it was just by a thread, as I'm sure many of us have. Literally just barely hanging on. Even as a child, I knew that there was something more to life than just the life that I was stuck in. I didn't know about God, per se. But I still, deep down inside, knew that I was going to be okay. I've recently been in a situation where I was broken so bad. It's hard. That I didn't know what I believed in. But it didn't matter how bizarre the situation seemed. I knew that my God, my Father, was right there with me. He was leading me out of that dark place. God's word says that he will never leave us nor forsake us, and I believe this 100%. And we all should. Isaiah 41:10 says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." God is trying to grow us up and make us stronger. He is doing this through our trials and hard times, you know, in our brokenness. God is also growing our faith in these times. Think about it. Our trials get harder with each one that we go through. Each trial requires a greater measure of faith. Do you have this unshakable faith that God will never leave you nor forsake you? It doesn't matter how broken you are. God is always there, even when you can't feel him. Amen. If you would like to have this deep, unshakable faith, if you come on up to the altar, God will touch you and give it to you. And this is a really deep, deep touch, really deep faith. Because as the times get darker and our situations get harder and heavier, we grow out of things and we need a deeper measure of things. And God wants to give us that deep faith tonight. So if you come on up to the altar, God will touch you and he'll give it to you. If you truly want it, come up here.